When it comes time to die, we're all first-timers. But we can look to the one man who died and lived again to learn how to die. Two thieves died with Jesus, but their deaths were very different. One cursed Jesus, while the other believed. Today, lessons on how a Christian should die and what it will be like on the other side. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series on Running to Win is all about what happens 1 minute after you die. In this, his final message, Erwin Lutzer discusses the purpose of God in the death of a Christian and how to approach death as Jesus approached it.
And you've heard me say that when he said to the thief, "Today you shall be with me in paradise," keep in mind that so far as the thief was concerned, he lived a little longer than Jesus, because the soldiers were so surprised that Jesus Christ died sooner than they expected. And that means that Christ was already in paradise. And when the thief died, Jesus was there to meet him. And what faith the thief had, what faith he had, because he was looking upon someone who was in the same predicament as he was, someone who was in the same agony, the same state of helplessness. And yet he believed and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He believed in Christ. And you know, William Cowper captured the faith of the thief when he said, "The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away." As we think about death, let me give you some concluding lessons. I've already stressed it, but let me emphasize, first of all, that your life as a believer is ultimately in the hands of God, not the hands of fate and happenstance and accidents. We call them accidents. From God's standpoint, they indeed might be a divine occurrence. Always remember that. Some of you live in areas of the city where there is shooting, where there is a lot of gang warfare, and you may fear for your life, and we understand that. And yet I need to comfort you with the words of Jesus, who said, "Do not fear those who are able to kill the body, and then after that there's nothing they can do, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell or in Hades. Fear him, but don't fear the person who can only kill you." But I want you to know that those of you who may live in areas where there is all kinds of gang warfare, your life is not any less in God's hands than those of us who may live somewhere else, because the believer ultimately is in the hands of God. Remember that. You say, "Well, what if I get shot?" Well, any one of us could have that happen, no matter where we are. And if it is true that evil men crucifying Jesus Christ, doing this despicable deed, nonetheless had Jesus Christ die at the time that the Father appointed, might it not be that even if we did lose our lives, that that would happen within the will and the providential care of God? Remember Jim Elliot, one of the martyred missionaries who died young? You know, he said, "God is peopling heaven. Why should he limit himself to old people?" And so sometimes God does take young people. But surely we must agree that Jim Elliot and those other four men who were with him, they died within God's providential care and guidance, even though they were killed by those Auca Indians, who since, incidentally, have come to know Christ as Savior. You know, there is a woman by the name of Lena Sandbell Berg. I know that the hymnals sometimes call her Carolina, but I think her name is Lena Sandbell Berg. One day, this young lady was in Switzerland crossing Lake Vättern. Those of you who are Swedish, you will know. I did say Switzerland, but I meant to say Sweden. If you are Swedish, you may know where that lake is. And she and her father were on this boat, and as they were going along, the boat suddenly lurched because of a huge wave that came. And her dad fell overboard, a man whom she dearly loved, and she watched him drown. And there was nothing that they could do. He could not be rescued. There was no way they could get into the water. And there she was, a distraught young woman, with a realization that she would never see her father again. She would never even recover his body again. As a result of that searingly difficult incident, she wrote a song that many of us like to sing, and we'll be singing it in just a few moments. It's entitled, Day by Day and With Each Passing Moment, Strength I Find to Meet My Trials Here. But I want you to notice some line, it's actually in the second stanza, that we oftentimes overlook. It talks about the protection of his child and treasure was a charge which on himself he laid. The protection of his child and treasure? Where was God when the boat lurched and her father fell? Well, Lena understood something. Her father was not the victim of a random wave or a gust of wind. He died as a believer within the providential care of God. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge which on himself he laid. As thy days shall be in measure, is a charge which to me he has made. This young woman had some good theology. So let me remind you that we die within God's providential government and his care. Our lives are in God's hands. Secondly, it is through our death that we glorify God. Remember the words that I quoted from John chapter 21, where Jesus said to Peter, this is the way in which you're going to die, and this will be the way in which then you will glorify God. This spake he, signifying by what death he would bring glory to God. The death of a believer brings glory to God. It may come through martyrdom. Probably for most of us it won't, but maybe for some. It may come through an accident. It may come through heart failure, through disease. It may come as a result of 100 different ways. Death is so creative, it comes in so many different packages. But when it comes, would you be reminded of the fact that the intention is to get you to God if you're a believer, and as a result of getting you to God, it is the means by which God has chosen to glorify himself and once again to prove his promises and his mighty work that he has done in our lives. It is indeed the way to heaven, the way to heaven. Our death is intended to glorify God. It's like sitting in a concert. You're enjoying the performance and there's a tap on the shoulder and somebody says, you're wanted in the lobby. And you say to yourself, I want to stay until the end of the concert. But the tap on your shoulder is very pronounced, and soon you discover that you are in the lobby, you're taken out of the concert, but you are taken home to heaven to be there forever. I want to end today's message by stressing the fact that if you want to get to heaven, you must know the Father just as Christ knew the Father. Jesus was able to die and say, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And in the very same way, we should be able to say the same words as we die, going directly from this life without a break in consciousness, directly from this life to the life to come, with the assurance that we will be with God forever and ever. But you need to trust Christ. We have a friend in our neighborhood who has not always been very open to the gospel. A woman whose husband passed away a couple of years ago. This past week we discovered that she has three tumors, and two spots on her lung, and some problems with cancer that also may be in her kidney. When we learned it last week, I said to Rebecca and to my daughter Lynn, I said, you really ought to go over there and help this lady to understand how she can prepare to meet God. That was really nice. I'm the pastor of Moody Church, but, Rebecca and Lynn, you know the gospel just as well as I do, so why don't you do it? Yesterday, for reasons I will not go into, I felt greatly convicted. I thought, I am the pastor. I visited her and I said to her, if you were to die, after some preliminaries, you understand, that was not the first thing that I said. But But after we had talked and we agreed about the fact that all of us were going to die sometime, whether it's of cancer or anything else, I said, if you were to die and God were to say to you, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say? And she said, well, I guess I just have to say that I've always assumed that that's where I'm going. So I questioned a little further and discovered that she had really no basis upon which she could believe that God would accept her. And after explaining the good news, how that we get into heaven on the basis of Christ's merit, I invited her to pray to accept Christ as Savior, and she did that. She did that. I trust that the Holy Spirit of God will confirm that decision to her heart, and that the Spirit of God will bring the assurance that indeed she exercised the faith unto salvation. There is such a thing, you know, as praying a prayer and not understanding what you're praying and not making that transfer of trust. And that's always why I'm afraid when people pray, not in a bad sense, but I worry a little bit and say, I trust that the Holy Spirit of God did the work, because Jesus said on one occasion that, he said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. But my dear friend, today I want you to know something. That when we get to heaven, it shall be basically and totally, completely on the basis of Christ's merit. And that's why those who believe in Christ can say, even as he did, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Remember Shakespeare, to be or not to be, that is the question. Hamlet is questioning whether or not he should commit suicide. But as I mentioned earlier, in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil? You're not sure whether death is going to be better than life? Contrast that with the Apostle Paul. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And you'll recall he says, to live in the flesh is more needful. He said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He says, if it were up to me, I would die. But I'm here as long as God wants me to be, even though I'm itching for glory, because I will be with Christ. What a difference. Hamlet said, live or die, I lose. Paul says, live or die, I win. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And it is Jesus Christ who makes all the difference. It makes all the difference.
Well, my friend, this is Erwin Lutzer, and yes, it is Jesus Christ who makes all the difference. This happens to be the last message in my series, 1 Minute After You Die. And at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how you can have this message either in printed book form or as preached as you've been listening to it here on Running to Win. But the bottom line is that I want you to be ready for eternity, and some of you have friends who aren't. And it's our responsibility to get this message to as many people as we possibly can, because after all, we will die. And then comes the judgment, the Bible says. I hope that today, as you go about your busy day and your work, that you will rejoice that your faith is in Jesus alone, for he takes us all the way to the Father's house.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has now concluded When God Opens the Curtain for You, the last in his 7-part series of messages called 1 Minute After You Die. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church. The series you've been hearing can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3, or in Dr. Lutzer's full-length book. For complete information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Visit our website at runningtowin.org, and don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister with a closing question. Does following Christ really matter? Tomorrow we begin a series based on a famous book, What Would Jesus Do? Call a friend, invite them to listen, and together, don't miss our next edition of Running to Win.